Hello, everyone. This is Todd Tucker, the director of Rock Bottom, and I am today on screen and beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
Welcome. This is episode 683 of On Screen and Beyond. I'm your host, Brian Zemrak, and this is the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week on Screen and Beyond, we have a guest who actually was here back 11 years ago, and I think it was episode 248. Don't quote me on that one, but it's in that range, so you can look it up. And but at that time, he was talking about his special effects makeup artist work. And he was in, you know, he did Mrs. Doubtfire and Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And this time he is back, and he is writing, directing, and co-starring in the film Rock Bottom. Now, this is a sort of an 80s throwback, long hair, you know, the big hair, metal bands, and all that type of stuff. It's comedy. It's a lot of fun. Todd Tucker is coming up in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond to talk about that and get you in on that. It's available on Prime Video, so you can get that right now. And but not until after the show. We got things going on here. If you're here for the first time, thank you for joining us. I hope you'll enjoy this show and keep listening to all our reruns that we have in all the podcast apps and, of course, at onscreenandbeyond.com. And you can go back and listen to all the great people we've had over the years. We have 683 episodes with this one, and we have more coming. So I hope you'll check those all out, and I'm sure you're going to find somebody who you enjoy listening to. If you are a On Screen and Beyond person who has been listening since day one, well, Thursdays I release on the socials. I'm not releasing them as new episodes. I'm releasing them as a Throwback Thursday retro rerun on all the socials, and you can check those out and relive some of the old episodes that we have. Now, of course, the beginning, somebody might be promoting something that they were on or a book they wrote or something like that. But you get to hear all about the things that they did. Like we had Burt Ward from Batman. And I don't think I've released that one, put that one back out again. But it's sort of just to bring it out to you in case you didn't know we had all these people on. And anyways, Thursdays, if you're on the socials, check those out. And you can go back and re-listen to some of our older episodes. You don't have to go search for them because I'm putting them out with a link that'll get you right to them. So some interesting stuff. We had Max Beer this past week, so we'll be putting out another one coming up this week and every week after that. So hope you'll check those out. As far as the On Screen and Beyond podcast crossword puzzle, well, the contest is over now for all of you who signed up. I am continuing to go through all the list of people to see, you know, who actually answered the questions right and all that. Then we'll have the drawing and somebody can win themselves a On Screen and Beyond embroidered hat. Now, this isn't the hats that you can buy that are on our website where you can get merchandise. These are special hats. Those are printed hats. These are embroidered hats, really sharp-looking hats. So that was a special thing that we were doing. But anyways, or they can get a On Screen and Beyond podcast mug. But that will be determined hopefully today. I'll finish that up. I just haven't had time to go through all of the list of people who have sent in the crossword puzzles. So we'll be checking that out next week. We'll know who the winner is, and we will let you know. And let's see, all the other stuff going on is all related to the TV shows, the movies, everything else, the remakes that are coming up. So why don't we get right into it? It's time for remakes, sequels, and prequels right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remakes, sequels, and prequels, Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick will return in A Simple Favor 2. And May 3rd, The Fall Guy, the remake of Lee Majors' show there, It's going to be starring Ryan Gosling as he jumps into theaters on May 3rd. And on June 7th, The Crow with Bill Skarsgård hits theaters. And a live-action movie based on Monopoly is in the works. And Marco Robbie is involved with that one. Hey, why not? You did a game or doll, whatever, with Barbie. Come back with Monopoly. See what they could do. And a remake of The Blair Witch Project from Blumhouse is in the works. And that's it for remakes, sequels, and prequels. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, upcoming new movies. Upcoming new movies, a biopic about Bruce Springsteen is in the works. September 20th, The Wild Robot with Pedro Pascal and Catherine O'Hara and more will be coming to theaters. And Anthony Hopkins will play King Herod in a biblical thriller called Mary. That's it for upcoming new movies. Next on Screen and Beyond, movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Movies and TV on DVD and streaming, Francis Ford Coppola's 1982 film, One from the Heart, reprise, lands on 4K, Blu-ray, and digital on May 7th. Madam Web goes 4K, Ultra HD, Blu-ray, and DVD on April 30th. Curb Your Enthusiasm, the complete series, arrives on DVD on October 8th. And a 40th anniversary 4K release of The Karate Kid will come our way on June 18th. And June 11th, you can look for La Femme Nikita to land on 4K, Ultra HD Steelbook. And that's it for movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, it's TV and entertainment time.
Hi, this is Annie Potts, and I'm on Screen and Beyond.
TV and entertainment time, Icy Day, who were guests here last month on Screen and Beyond, will release their first album called Clear Skies on April 19th. And on May 17th, a new album from Don McLean will be coming our way. It's called American Boys. And CBS is looking at possibly rebooting Cold Case. That's it for TV and entertainment time. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, we are going to be sitting down with Todd Tucker, writer, director, and co-star of Rock Bottom, which is a fun film, and he's going to let us in all on that one. He's next, Todd Tucker, right here on Screen and Beyond. Today's guest on Screen and Beyond is an actor, director, writer, producer, and special effects makeup artist. His work has been seen on Mrs. Doubtfire, The Smurfs, Hook, Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, and so many others. His latest film, Rock Bottom, is now available, and he wrote it, directed it, and is one of the stars. It's Todd Tucker. Todd, welcome back to On Screen and Beyond.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's great to be back 11 years later.
Yeah, in case our listeners don't know, Todd was a guest back actually February of 2013, and episode 249. So if you want to hear about Todd's special effects makeup work, go back and listen to that episode. But right now we're going to talk about his new film, Rock Bottom.
Awesome. Thank you for having me on again, Brian. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been too long, that's for sure.
It's been a while.
But now, Todd, with all the things you've done, you know, your special effects makeup and everything, has the acting part always been part of what you've wanted to do as we move into Rock Bottom?
You know, when I moved to Los Angeles in the early 90s, I had a goal to get myself into the special effects makeup world, which I did. I wanted to do acting and puppeteering, so I did I played a lot of creatures for a while, and did a lot of puppeteering, and then started acting and playing, you know, normal roles. But the main goal was to get to the point where I would write and direct my own films. And my very first film was something called Monster Butt. I did a film a few years ago called The Terror of Hallows Eve, which was horror. And then the latest one, which is a comedy, Rock Bottom, which is pretty much based on my life before I moved to Hollywood and started working in the film industry. So it was kind of a retro go back to the 80s and relive a lot of stuff. And by far one of my favorite things I've ever had the pleasure of creating.
Yeah. Can you give us an idea of what the actual plot of the movie is?
Sure. Basically, it's the idea is that an 18-year-old girl who's about to graduate high school helps her 50-year-old dad get their 80s hair band back together so that it can be the opening act at a charity event for a famous pop star named Bryce Cooper. It's a throwback to everything 80s, but we also were able to put storylines and characters in there that are the new generation, the 20-year-olds. And I think we were able to successfully breach the gap between 20-year-old kids and their 50-year-old parents.
Now, I'm looking at the cast of this film, and you've come up with quite a good cast on this. Did you have a lot to do with the casting of it also? I mean, you know, it looks like you're wearing 10 different hats here.
You know what? Honestly, I got so lucky with my cast. And I don't know if you've seen the movie yet or not, but it's an ensemble cast. I mean, you know, there's a lot of characters in this movie that get a lot of screen time. And, you know, I got so lucky. And the lead, Tom Everett Scott, who you know from That Thing You Do and a bunch of other movies, he came in and he really had a certain tone to him that really set the vibe, I think, for a lot of the other performances, including mine as his character, as the Nicky Rockbottom character, his brother. I had to really kind of lock into how he was playing Jesse so that I didn't come off too big or you know, and everybody really, as I was directing, we also had McKaylee Miller, who plays Alex. She was great because she had to be the driving force of this whole story. And then of course we had Jake Bon Jovi, who this is his breakout role, and he was amazing. He showed up and was just a total pro. And then Tila Dunn, who is an actress and a TikTok star, she came in, and everyone was so close to their characters in a lot of ways that I really left it open for my actors to come up with dialogue if the dialogue we had wasn't working organically. And when we were doing scenes, if it didn't feel right, I'm like, well, what would your character say? What do you feel you would say as that character in this moment? And let them play a little bit. And it was, I think, good for the actors to be able to have some freedom. And I think it shows on the film because there's a lot more realness and it's more organic, I think. And the comedy plays better too, because it doesn't feel too pushed. Mm-hmm. And then I also have, I'll just throw it out there because I've got such a great cast. I also had, Zach Ward and Chris Mulkey and, Brandon Butler and all these great, you know, I got a lot of 20-year-olds that are great actors, and then I got a lot of over 40 and 50, and even some elderly actors like Chris Mulkey and Danielle Kennedy, who play these great characters, and they're maybe the funniest ones in the movie. So it's really cool. I had a great cast. I got really lucky.
Yeah, and Chris Mulkey has been a guest here on Screen and Beyond, and Zach Ward too has been in the past.
Yeah. I met Chris on this film, and he and I have become friends since. He is just one of the coolest people I've ever met in my life, and he plays the hand character in the movie. He's this old rocker, just funny as hell in this movie. And then Zach Ward, actually, I met years ago when I was working on a TV show called Charmed. Yes. And I did a makeup effect on him. And it's so funny because he came into my trailer and we hadn't met or nothing. And he was on the phone with somebody and he insulted me in front of me to the person on the phone. And then I said something back to him that was insulting, and we looked at each other and we had a little standoff. And then he looks at me, he goes, "Dude, either we're going to become best friends or kick the shit out of each other." And by the end of the night, we were hanging out, we were having a beer, and we were best friends and have been great friends ever since. And he's been in every one of my damn movies. So, Zach's been a bad guy in a lot of films of mine. So, So Zach's great. He's such a great actor. He's also a director. He did his own film. So he's a really talented guy.
Yeah. Now you mentioned in passing, you just said Jake Bon Jovi.
Yes.
Now that name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, it's funny because, obviously it's his dad is John and, but you know, it didn't honestly, that wasn't the reason why I cast him. Because it wouldn't have mattered if his dad was John Bon Jovi, if he couldn't pull the part off.
Right.
Cause it wouldn't matter. Cause literally that coolness lasts for about 3 seconds when you're watching him on film, because if he doesn't pull it off and he wasn't as good an actor as he was, it would have tanked the movie because he's such a strong pivotal point. So I got on the phone with him. I did a Zoom call with him. He didn't audition for me. I just talked to him on a Zoom call for like 40 minutes. And I just wanted to make sure that he got the character and that I connected and thought that I could pull a performance out of him. Mm. And I was sold. I was completely sold on him, not his background, not his name, nothing.
Yep.
And if I wasn't sold, it wouldn't have mattered who his dad was, because I couldn't risk having a lead character who couldn't act.
Right.
You know, so
yeah.
He made it. He totally, you know, he's going to do very well as an actor.
Yeah. Now, I noticed that on IMDb, the spelling of his name is different than, it still says Bon Jovi, but it's spelled different. Is that, do you know if that was just a mistake on IMDb, or is that purposely so he doesn't have that, you know, that thing's hanging over his head of his father and that type of thing?
No, to be honest with you, if I am correct, I believe I'm correct. If I'm correct, that's the actual spelling of their name. I believe that it was changed for the band.
Ah, okay. All right.
Yeah, I believe that's the actual spelling. So yeah, I think it's real.
that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, I'm Leonard Maltin, and I'm on Screen and Beyond.
How did you come up with the idea of this? Was this something that you came up with, you know, in a couple of weeks, or is this something that you've been thinking about and stewing for the last couple of years, or how did that come up?
Long story short, I was a long-haired drummer turned lead singer in an 80s hair band, and we were signed by a label, and we were voted Best Bay Area Band back in 1989, and my career ended overnight when MTV switched out and everything became grunge. Literally, we became the new disco overnight. Mm-hmm. And everything ended for me. And that's when I moved to Los Angeles, started in the film industry, and literally didn't sing a word or pick up an instrument for 35 years.
Huh.
And then my daughter, 2 days before the COVID shutdown, asked me if I'd ever consider getting my old band back together. And I said, hell no. And then the world shut down for COVID, and I went, time for me to create Rock Bottom. So I pulled out my drums and my keyboards. I started writing music, started writing the script, and spent about 3 years putting the whole thing together, bringing people on board, getting people in the mix. We have the movie itself, which is on Prime Video right now. We also have an 11-song original album called
cool.
Rock Bottom. Yeah, called Rock Bottom, the original soundtrack, and that's on everywhere. That's on Spotify, iTunes, all over the place. And all the songs for the movie are in the movie itself as the soundtrack. And to be able to go record music, and I pulled in some amazing, amazing 80s rock stars. I've got George Lynch from Dokken playing guitar on one of the songs. I've got Terry Ellis from XYZ and Great White singing one of the songs. I've got Sean McNabb playing bass. I've got Toshi Yanagi, who is the lead guitar player for the Jimmy Kimmel Live show and the band ABC, all kinds of stuff. He's a total rock star. Jeffrey Allen Jones on keyboards. I've got Kurt Tosi. I've got all these guys that came in, and we got to record 11 original songs. I got to write music with these guys. It was the coolest damn thing. Other than making the movie.
Wow.
So that's all out. You can get it all right now. And the response from the soundtrack and from the movie has been so good. I've been really, really lucky and happy that people are really responding to it, because you never know. You put it together and you make something that you hope works, but you never really know until you put it out there. And timing's really important too. So I've just been very lucky and very thankful.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. Because I mean, and did you write the songs all by, you know, all yourself?
I wrote some of them myself. Some of them were combinations of the different artists that I just told you. And a couple of them were pre-existing songs written by Terry Illouz. So I got to kind of pick and choose and bring my own and create new ones. So it was a mishmash of all this great creativity. And then I got to record it all. I mean, that was my happy time, was going into the recording studio and recording all these songs, because it just... it took me back to my days when I was in the recording studio in the 80s, you know, recording music back then. So it was complete flashback.
Wow.
In a really good way.
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible, because, you know, now you're living the dream. I mean, you're doing the music that you wanted to do originally when you started. And then, you know, you're making the film and you're in the film. You directed it. You wrote it. You're doing the whole thing. I mean, that's really cool.
And oddly enough, we were in a film festival about 4 weeks ago here in Los Angeles called the Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival. And the film actually won Best Film. I won Best Director, and Jake Bon Jovi won Best Actor of the festival.
Oh, congratulations. And there were like
a lot of submissions to that. So it was really cool. We got to go do that and did a red carpet, and all, you know, a good majority of my actors showed up. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So... and we have all this stuff posted too online. We have a whole bunch of social media going on at the Rock Bottom Movie on all the different socials. And also too, when you go on Prime Video, always remember Rock Bottom is one word, Rock Bottom, one word.
Yeah.
Because if you do it in two words, you'll have a hard time finding it.
Ah.
Just a note for the public.
Yeah. Now when you go to the festivals like that. I mean, I've been to a lot of, you know, film festivals and everything. And when you're watching your film, are you down front? Are you up back? Are you watching what the crowd, you know, are you not watching the film and seeing, are they getting this? You know, did they get this joke? Did they get that one? How are you when you're at a film, you know, film festival watching your movie?
Well, I can tell you this. It is, I don't skydive or do like extreme sports, but I do go to my own film festivals, and it's very similar, because literally your heart rate starts racing and you're just, it is like so scary and so nerve wracking, because especially at this film festival, this was the first time anyone has really seen it as a group, like a big group. I've had like a small group of friends and family that would come and just kind of critique it when we were editing and stuff. But mm-hmm. This is the first time that I'd ever seen it on a big screen, and it makes you want to throw up. but I'll tell you what, a lot of little jokes in Rock Bottom. And if you listening to the dialogue, you know, a lot of them aren't set up jokes. They're just funny things that are being said. And I wasn't sure if the audience was going to pick up on a lot of these little things, and hearing them laugh and applaud, you know, the band, and just hearing all that stuff, there's an energy. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, there's an energy in the room, and it's either good or it's bad. And yeah. As the director and the filmmaker, you know if it's good or if it's bad. And when it's good, it's like an adrenaline rush that I can't even explain, other than like being on stage in front of an audience. It's mm-hmm. that same kind of vibe where all eyes are on you and people are digging it or they're not. And I just got real fortunate that everyone really liked the film. The actors, the people that are in the mix that were part of the team, are proud of being part of this film. And honestly, I made this film more than anything to just try to create something utilizing the great 80s music vibe and an homage to all those 80s bands and all that 80s music, to kind of use that as a positive, upbeat. And all the music's very upbeat music that we created. It's like Journey, Bon Jovi, Foreigner. I mean, it's all that real positive, mm-hmm. fun, makes you feel good music. I wanted to make something that both the movie and the music, at the end of the day, when you walk out, will make you feel good. Because mm-hmm. right now, I think to make something that makes people feel good is a really good time, because there's a lot of negativity around. And to have something that makes you smile and makes you feel good, that was my goal, and it seems to be happening. So I'm literally the luckiest guy around.
Great. Yeah. Now, how did you come up with the name Rock Bottom? I mean, you know, there's got to be a story behind that.
I don't know. It just, as the movie started developing, it just fits the characters because, you know, it's based on what I experienced, you know, in multiple stages of my life as a musician. And, you know, the characters in the movie, they're literally rock bottom. One guy's working as a janitor at an old folks home. One guy's a marriage counselor. One guy's an ice cream, you know, an ice cream man. They're not doing well. And they're all in their 50s. And unfortunately, this is the story for a lot of ex-rockers who did, you know, weren't able to figure out something that made a lot of money. So rock bottom just fit the storyline for sure. And then we also made it the last name of our lead character. Yep. So tied together and that was a great name.
Yeah. That's really good. What was the name of your group when you were back in the 80s?
The name of my band was called Dreamer.
Dreamer, okay.
Dreamer, yeah. And I started off as the lead singer. I'm sorry, I started off as the drummer, and I was lead singing most of the songs behind the drums, and then we got signed by a record label, and they were like, you know, you got to come up front. You can't be a lead singer behind the drums anymore. And I'm like, what about Phil Collins? And I'm like, oh, damn, Phil Collins is up front now. Shit. So I kind of screwed myself. But so I made the deal that I would come up front, but literally just like the Justin character in the movie, as soon as I came up front and left the drums behind, I for a while, like I would feel nauseous as hell, like performing. It was just not, it just wasn't good as a front man yet. Cause I was just really insecure without my drums. So it took me a while to get to that point where I could, you know, actually be a lead singer and act like a lead singer. Mm-hmm. But, and then we got signed by the label and everything was moving forward and we were voted Best Bay Area Band in 1989 and we were on the radio and doing all this great stuff. And like I said, literally I was signing autographs in a guitar center and literally everything changed overnight when MTV and grunge showed up. And I went into that same guitar center about a month later and had people pointing at me and giggling.
Rock bottom.
Dude, you want to talk about rock bottom? That was rock bottom and the most humbling experience. So when I got to Los Angeles and started working in the film industry, when I would go and, you know, and do interviews and stuff, and no matter what was happening in my life, how I was very humble. I've never been so humbled from that experience. So nothing you could, I could be the biggest star in the world. It wouldn't matter. I wouldn't take it serious because I know what it feels like to go from one to the other overnight.
Yeah. Jeez. You know? Well, you know, the movie sounds like a lot of fun. And the soundtrack, I got to, you know, check that out because I didn't know that you had put out a soundtrack on this.
Yeah. No, the soundtrack kicks butt. It's really good. And it's a lot of harmonies. I mean, here's the thing about the soundtrack is it's hard to get the songs out of your head. So I'll just apologize now if you wake up in the middle of the night singing one of the songs. Because people have told me, like, damn, man, your song, I can't get it out of my head. It's annoying me now because it's been 3 days.
That's a good thing, though.
They're good. No, they're really good. It's good rock and roll. And the movie will make you feel good if you know, if you get a chance to watch it. One thing that's been cool is people have been having 80s parties and dressing up and putting on wigs and costumes and watching Rock Bottom and having parties. And I've seen footage of some of these parties and, man, they're just having a blast. So if anyone has the ability to set up a party with your friends and have an 80s night, Rock Bottom is the movie and you'll have a good time.
Huh. Now, how long a shoot was the film?
We shot it in February of last year. And we shot it in 18 days.
Wow.
It was a fast shoot. Yeah. And then literally right after we finished shooting is when the strike hit. So I finished just in time.
Yeah. But I mean, literally, you know, you say 18 days to film it, but you know, how many days were there for editing and, you know, sound editing and the whole works? I mean, that takes longer than the filming probably.
Well, you know, it was, so I recorded all of the songs and vocals and everything needed for the songs that the band plays in the movie where they're singing to the song. So we had to have a soundtrack to mimic singing and mm-hmm. playing to, right? So I had to finish five of the songs before the movie started so we would have them for the film. And then after we finished the film, I went back and forth between going in and editing and doing sound and color correction and all the different things in post while we recorded and wrote the rest of the other six songs. So I was bouncing back and forth between the post house and the recording studio, which was cool. It was actually a great time. So, but the process probably took, after we finished the film, it took, I would say probably about 6 months ish.
Yeah. Wow.
We were being really, really tough on it. I mean, like we were, you know, we had, you know, we continued to edit it multiple ways and make sure it was the best edit, and getting the sound right was really important. So we really scrutinized it to make sure it was as tight as it could possibly be.
Mm. Yeah. Now, with all this going on, were you still doing special effects makeup work?
Yeah. So while I was doing this,
you're a little crazy, Todd.
well, actually, to be honest with you, while I was doing this, this was a full time job for me, and literally, it's been a full time job because as soon as I finished the film and then I had to get it, you know, we got it out on Prime Video, and now I'm doing all this press, you know, for the next month or so, if not longer. So during that time frame when we were making the movie, I had my main guys here. I have two of my main guys here that run my special effects company when I am not available.
Yeah.
And we did some projects, a couple projects before the strike, and then a couple projects right after the strike. But it's been a little slow in the effects world just because the strike really, really pretty much everything, yeah. in filmmaking for the most part. But luckily for me, I was in post, so I got to just do all the post for the remainder of last year for the most part to get everything really, really tight and have it ready for the, this year's early release.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's, we did do a couple of years back, and hopefully, we'll be doing it again. Did create the new Leatherface for Netflix, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, if you got a chance to see it.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Yeah. If you're a horror fan, it's a really good film. It was done by Legendary.
Yeah. Wow. Ace, you are busy. You are very busy, Todd.
Oh, I'll give you the last little piece of the puzzle that I'm trying to put together. We are also trying to put together, potentially at the end of this year, a live Rock Bottom concert.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the last piece of the puzzle that that I'm hoping we can make happen. So
now, would that be the actors from who play the parts of the band Rock Bottom playing, or is this going to be other people playing those roles?
It would be the actors that are playing the parts that are the actual musicians in the band and the actual musicians played on the album.
Wow.
So it's the actual people on the album, and a number of them are in the movie. So it's the ones from the movie and then the actual people that were the recording artists.
Very cool.
So it'll sound just like the album.
Yeah.
That's the goal. And we're going to have some of the actors from the movie also make appearances. It's going to be, if I do it right, it's going to be kind of a scripted comedy concert that reflects the film itself and is basically a lot of fun with some great rock and roll. Make you feel good.
Wow, that's a great idea to tell you the truth. That's
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow. Now we got to see if I can pull it off.
Yeah. I know. That's
throw me good vibes, Brian. Throw me good vibes.
You got them. Well, Todd, I want to finish up with one final question, but I really want to encourage people to go see Rock Bottom. And you say they can see it on Amazon Prime. Is it anywhere else, or just on Amazon Prime right now?
Right now it's on Prime Video.
Prime Video.
And again, Prime Video. And it's one word, Rock Bottom. And you can get it there. We are going to be branching out hopefully soon and go to even more places within the world. But right now we are in the United States and the UK. And the album itself, the Rock Bottom original soundtrack, is on Spotify, iTunes, Apple, pretty much all the main streaming resources. And you can check out all our stuff on social. We got a bunch of behind the scenes and all kinds of great stuff on our The Rock Bottom Movie on all of our Instagram and Facebook and all the good stuff. So we're really pushing it and putting it out there. And we're going to have a store pretty soon, too, with merchandise.
Wow,
so,
that's great.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Why not?
Well, Todd, I'd like to, the final question is, when you sit back and relax, and I always use that phrase, but it's like, okay, listening to what you've done and what you're doing, you know, you don't sit back and relax, but anyways, when you do, what are your favorite TV shows now and of the past, and what are your favorite movies now and of the past? What do you enjoy watching?
Oh, wow. Okay. TV wise, I don't watch a lot of TV. But I do go watch a lot of my DVDs. I go to the movies a lot. I would say movie-wise, wow. Because a lot of times when I'm just like writing or working or if I'm sculpting or doing something artistic, I like to put a movie in the background and just hear it. But, you know, geez, man. Wow.
Is there one movie that, you know, you're going through the channels and everything, and you see it, you've seen it 50 times, but you got to watch it again.
I've seen Halloween, John Carpenter's Halloween, 8 bazillion times. and I got lucky enough to actually meet John Carpenter and become friends with his wife, Sandy. And I actually sat in John Carpenter's living room and had him ask me and talk to me about Rock Bottom because he loved the project. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. So I'm such a huge fan of John. So I you know, I'm a big fan of Halloween, The Fog, Escape from New York, all those great, you know, The Thing, all those great Kurt Russell movies. Huge fan of, you know, Star Wars and all the nerdy stuff from the day. And I was also a huge Jim Henson fan. So I love films like Dark Crystal and Labyrinth.
Yes.
A lot of creature stuff. Was my thing. A lot of Spielberg films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, how about you?
Me, movie wise? Oh, I watch so many movies.
An alien to watch three movies. What would be the three movies?
Wow. You're not supposed to turn it on me.
I know. I'm just curious.
Let's see. This is an odd one. I love the movie The Majestic. I don't know if you know that movie.
Ooh.
That was Jim Carrey. Totally different from what he normally was and everything. I just enjoyed the way he changed his acting, not to be so, way out there. It was just a big change for me. I like a lot of those things where artists, whether it's music or whatever, change their style. You know, Alice Cooper, when he went from his hard rock type style music to Only Women Bleed, very different for them. I like that type of thing.
Right. Yeah. I think if I had to pick the three, I would probably say Halloween, Star Wars, and The Wizard of Oz.
All classics. That's for sure.
That would definitely be a night of entertainment for an alien.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
and I'll throw Rock Bottom in as a
Rock Bottom, yes. And bring your wigs from the 80s.
Just for, yeah.
Well,
hairdo wig and sunglasses, that'd be great.
Yes. Well, Todd, I thank you so much for sharing with us. Gave us a lot of information and things to check out. People should be sure to go check out Rock Bottom and also to check out the soundtrack and everything. And it's so good to have you back. It's a lot of fun to talk to you, and I appreciate it very much.
All right, thank you so much, and we'll try not to make it another 11 years. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
All right, Brian, thank you again.
And a good shout out to Todd Tucker for joining us here at On Screen and Beyond. And I want to thank him so much for joining us once again to let us in on his new film, Rock Bottom. He, of course, like I said, was the writer, director, and co-star of the film. And he's got so many great ideas that he's coming out with the possible concert and all of that stuff, the soundtrack that's out and everything. So be sure to check that out, Rock Bottom, on Prime Video. And also go to your, Apple Music or whatever else, Amazon Music or Spotify or wherever, and get his soundtrack for that album. So sounds like a lot of fun. And that looks like the end of this episode of On Screen and Beyond. We've got a lot of things going on for our next episode. We've got a lot of great guests coming up again on Screen and Beyond next week. So I hope you'll stick around, you know, and listen to us. If you are out there and you're saying, well, you know, what day does it come out? When does it come out? What time and everything? The show usually comes out on Sundays, but sometimes we have to move things around and everything because of schedules of what people are doing or different, you know, just stuff going on. And the best way to get the episode is to like us, follow us on your favorite podcast app, so it automatically will download to you, okay? That's the best way to do it. Of course, like I say, you know, we are usually on time on Sundays to release the episodes, but the easiest way is to turn around and follow us or subscribe, whatever wording they're using, because they all use different wording. But just go ahead and do that. It doesn't cost anything. It just makes it so the second the episode is released for me, you get it in your podcast app. So that's the best thing to do. And like I said, we have some amazing guests coming your way still. So keep listening to On Screen and Beyond. That's a wrap for this episode. So until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zemirak. Take care.